And he saw the face of Jesus, and then he rolled him over the tar. Now I've never prayed a prayer that he could not answer, and I've never shed a tear that he could not dry. And when the
gonna be in the book of Genesis tonight.
This thing.
Book of Genesis, chapter 12 through chapter number 19. Now, we're not going to be able to read all that. And we're just going to try to read some of it. And we're going to talk about some of it. But most of you know the story where God called Abraham out. He called Abraham out from among his own people. And I want to start reading. I'm going to read just a few verses. I'm going to start reading in chapter 12. I want to read verse number 1 through 5, and then I'm going to go to 13, and we'll go to 14, and we'll end up in 19. But here's what I want to share with you tonight. I really want to talk about Lot, not Abraham. And I want to share lessons from Lot. Because if you look at this scripture and you look at the life of Lot, you'll see there are a lot of lessons for us to learn there. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, is lessons from Lot. But let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter number 12, beginning verse number 1, and read. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Now I want to stop right here for just a minute. I still believe that promise is true, by the way. That's why I believe that our nation, we need to pray for our nation, but anytime they start talking about not supporting Israel, it concerns me. And I believe that God has blessed us because we blessed them. That's what the scripture says. "I'll bless those that bless thee, and I'll curse those that curse you." It says, "So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came." Now, here's what God calls Abram out. Now, we're just talking about some facts here, but let's go on down and let's look at the 13th chapter and go to the fifth verse. There was a period of time where Lot and Abram were together, and they were, you know, God was blessing and multiplying. And if you read through the scripture, you find where it says that Abram was a wealthy man. He was wealthy in all the cattle that he had and all the substance and the people that were with him. And Lot was there with him, and Lot was actually blessed as well. And there come a time, when we want to read in the 13th chapter in the 5th verse, it says, "And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, and that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said to Lot, 'Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdmen, my herdmen, and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left.'" So here's Abram, and there's contention, and there's just so many of them that they're mixing in their strife. And Abram looks at him and he says, "You just raise your eyes up and you look. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right." He let him have his pick. "If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." And look at what Lot did in the 10th verse. And it says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld, and all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even," listen to this now, "even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar." Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. So Lot, he's looking, and he's looking at the beauty. He's looking at the land, and he sees that it's well watered. And Abraham just had to take what was left. So he chose the plain of Jordan, and he goes towards Sodom. Well, if you go on, let's go to the 14th chapter, and let's look at some things that happen. Well, here we find Lot. This is how Lot gets down into the land of Sodom. And while he's there in this land, if you come over to the 14th chapter, we want to read just a couple of verses at the beginning of the chapter. It says, "And it came to pass in the days of Aphraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, the king of Elishar, and Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of the nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Abna, and Shemir, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is in Zoar. And they joined together against Sodom." Now, when they came into this city and they fought against this city, they seized the city. And they took Lot and everything that Lot had captive. And as they took it captive, Lot and all of his substance and all of his people, taken captive by these kings, Abraham hears about it. And he goes and he takes of his servants that are there with him, that are trained. If you go over to the 14th verse, it says 318. And they pursued after them, Abram did, with 318, and they overtook them. And they defeated them, and they delivered Lot, and they delivered the kings of Sodom out of the hand of these kings that had attacked Sodom and Gomorrah. And when they brought them back, Abraham, of course, he returned Lot to Sodom, but he also returned the king, and Abram would not receive anything from their hand. He said, "Lest you say that you've made Abram rich." Another thing he did, that he took, if you look at the 17th verse, there was a tenth part of the spoils that they took, and they paid tithes to Melchizedek, king of Salem. And you begin to see this story, and obviously that's a story within itself, but there's an example here. And during all this time, you know, Lot, he lifted up his eyes, he went towards Sodom, he's taken captive there, and Abram comes, and God blesses him to be delivered. He's able to go back, and he sees how Abram does not take anything from the hand of the king And then how he goes and pays tribute to Melchizedek. So we see some unselfishness in Abram. So you can't say from looking at this scripture that he wasn't given opportunity and that he did not have an example that was given to him. Now I got four lessons that I want you to talk about from Lot. And here's lesson number one. What you see is not always what you get. You see, he lifted up his eyes and he looked toward Sodom and he saw the beauty of the plain and he saw how well watered it was. And he said, that looks good. I believe I'll go this direction. You know, there have been times in my life that I've had opportunities that if you look at it on the outside, it looks good. But I want to tell you something. I've tried to be cautious. And I think I'm to the point in my life now that I'm as cautious as I've ever been. I don't want to go after what looks good. I want to go after what God wants me to go after. Now, the difference you see in between these two men is one, Lot, he looked and he saw what looked good to the natural eye. But here's Abram, he's trusting God that regardless of where he goes, if he goes in God's will, that God's going to bless it. So what you see is not always what you get. And we need to pray before we make a major move. You know, there have been times in my life that I've had job offers that were very lucrative. And if you just look at them and you look at them on paper, it's kind of like this. You know, you tell people, I got a job offer paying this much. And they say, you mean you turned that down? Well, you know, what I begin to think about, I remember one job offer I had. My kids were all small when Jessica was at home, and she was small. And could you imagine moving your family off somewhere for a job? You say, oh, but you'd have had a much nicer house than you have now. I remember one time, Kendra and I had not been married long, and there was a man that I met. And all he talked about, he said, when I get out of school, he said, this is what he kept saying. All he ever talked about was a little red sports car. He had his eyes set on the prize. And sometimes we look at the prize and we set our eyes on the prize and we don't think about the impact that it's going to make on our family. Could you imagine me moving my family away from the Bible Belt? By the way, folks, you're blessed. Okay? You're blessed to live in a part of the country that still has churches that preach the gospel. Okay? There's some places, and I've traveled to them, and I do this everywhere I go. I try to find a church. I just going down the road, I look, and I say, see how many I can find. Kendra and I are going on a trip next week, and I said this morning. I said, I hope the Lord does not come back while we're there, because California is the last place he's going to visit before he goes back to heaven. He'll come get us, but you know. But do you ever think about that? But I thought about it when I was given this job offer, and it was lucrative. I thought, do I want my daughter growing up there? What kind of churches are going to be there? What kind of fellowship? Is this what God wants for me in my life, or is this what I want? So number one, what you see is not always what you get. Here's the point. Pray before you make a major move. Pray. Seek God's will. Number two, lesson from Lot, is trust God to deliver. Now you got to learn to trust God to deliver. Now, if we look at Lot, he had examples that were given to him. You see, Lot saw how Abram had been blessed when they parted company. You know, have you ever been around somebody and you say, well, they're just one of those kind of people that everything they touch turns to gold? I don't envy those kind of people. I try to get real close to them. I want God to have his hand on what I do. And one thing that I've learned is if I want God's hand on what I do, I got to turn loose of it enough that God can get a hold of it. And when Lot lifted up his eyes, he wasn't thinking about God. He was thinking about himself. Okay, so he saw, although he went the way that looked good to the natural eye, he saw how God had blessed Abram. He saw how God honored Abram when Abram did what was right. He saw how God used Abram to deliver him and his family when they were taken captive. 318. I don't know exactly how many, but you heard all those names that I couldn't pronounce. There were a lot of them. But the difference is when they went down there and they camped around them at night, God delivered them into their hands. So Lot had this example of this uncle that walked with God, that stood for God, that did the will of God, and because he did, God blessed him. Then he saw how God blessed Abram when he gave honor to Melchizedek, king of Salem. He saw how Abram was unselfish when he returned the spoils to the king of Sodom and said, "I won't take anything." So he has all these pictures and all these examples in his life. He might have even heard later how God had changed Abram's name to Abraham and Sarai's name to Sarah when God made a covenant with him. And he's hearing these things. However, we look at this story and we see how Lot did not believe or obey God. You see, he's in this place, and sometimes the truth is we get ourselves into places and positions. The best thing we can possibly do is say, "Lord, I've made a mess. Lord, I need you to help me get out of here." And here's Lot. He's down here in Sodom. And this place is growing increasingly, increasingly more wicked, more and more wicked every day. And the angels come and they go to Abraham, and you know the story where Abraham asked for 20 souls. They said, "We won't destroy it for 20. And he gets down to 10 and they say, "Well, we won't destroy it for 10. But you know what? They knew there wasn't 10 there. And here's Lot, he's down here in this city. And if you go over to the scripture, and we may read it in just a minute, in 2 Peter chapter 2, it says that his righteous soul was vexed from day to day with the wickedness. But he was there because he had not made decisions based on what's right in the sight of God. Well, if you go over to the 19th chapter, we see how that judgment came. And when judgment came, and the angels visit Lot, and they come into Lot's house, even then, after Lot had had the example, Lot was not believing God to deliver. Well, I'll tell you why I believe that. Because when they pressed upon the city, upon the door that night, the wickedness of the men outside the door of Lot's house, they said, "Where are those two men that came in this night to dwell with you?" They said, "Bring them forth," the wicked men of the city said, "Bring them forth that we may know them." And this is in the 19th chapter, beginning down in the 4th verse. Lot didn't believe God because here's what Lot did. He went out to them and tried to calm them down, and he said, "I've got two daughters that have never known a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you'll know them." And they pressed upon him and said, "Who brought you in to be a judge amongst us?" And the angel reached out and pulled him into the door, smote him with blindness, told Lot to go to the mountain. And when they told Lot to go to the mountain, what did he do? He pled with them again. He said, "Would you just let me go over here to this city? Would you spare this one city, this city Zoar?" So they told Lot to go to the mountain, but he still didn't trust God to deliver. You know what he said? He said, "I'm afraid to go to the mountain. I'm afraid to go to the mountain lest we go up there and some mischief befall us and we be destroyed. Let us go to this little city, Zoar." Now you can look at the scripture and you'll see he ended up going to the mountain anyway. Because when he got over there to that little city, Zoar, the city was so wicked he was afraid to live there. And he departed with his two daughters at this time, and they went up to the same mountain that God told them to go to. So, lesson number two is you need to learn to trust God to deliver. And when I look at this, what I want to do is I want to be able to get myself out of the way. I don't want to be like Lot. I don't want to make decisions based on what my eyes see without seeking the will of God, nor do I want to be in the midst of a situation and a circumstance that could effectively hurt my entire family and me as a spiritual leader of my home not be able to be in touch with God enough to protect them. And that's what happened in Lot's life. Look at number three. Lesson number three. Y'all don't have an outline. I'm sorry I've said that that way. Turn to page 244 now. Number three, do not hold too tightly to this world. You need to know when to turn it loose. Okay? See, sometimes the people, they have a problem holding on so tight that when God pries it out of their hand, it hurts. See, that's something that we ought to know and understand as Christians, that we're pilgrims and strangers here. This is the temporary place for us. And you know, while there are things that I enjoy and that I have, you know, we were coming home from church here just a few months ago, and we pulled into our subdivision, and as we turned in and we turned up the hill to go to our house, I could look through the woods and I saw a house on fire. I could hear people yelling outside, and I saw that house and I could tell it was gone. I later found out that a man was sitting out on his front porch and he was burning letters and dropping them down. One fell in a bush, vinyl side, and got the house on fire right at the front porch, burned his own house down. And as I sat there and I thought about that, and you and I both know people who have suffered loss, I could get home today and everything that I have could be gone. But one day it's going to be somebody else's anyway. You know, sometimes I think about it. I mean, we need to get to know some of these people's got a lot of stuff and no family and get them lined up to care about hiring First Baptist Church. Amen. I heard a guy that I talked to a couple of weeks ago. He said that he met a man, had 400 acres in Kansas. He was leasing it from him to hunt on, only went out there about three times a year. Ended up being on the guy's list of who he was going to leave things through. Left him 400 acres because they had nobody. Do you realize that when you're gone, somebody else is going to have all your stuff anyway? Amen. And when we hold on to it too tightly, it hurts when we turn it loose. I want to read this scripture in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. And this is pulling some scripture out of a context here. It says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overflow, making them an example unto those that should after that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Now you see, when Lot went into Sodom, he went into that city rich. But when he left, he wasn't rich anymore. Because he went to his two sons-in-law to ask them to go with him, and they wouldn't go. And he ended up going out of the city with his wife and his two daughters. And if you look at this scripture, by holding on to this world, Lot made repeated bad decisions. You know, when I look at this story and the part of this story where he offered his two daughters to the wicked men of the city, what kind of spiritual shape would he have been in to do that? You see, if it was me and they come to the door, it would have been on. There wouldn't have been any, "I'm going to bring my daughters out." There wouldn't have been any, "We're going to compromise. You know, I'm going to stand on this word, but I'm not putting up with any of that." And here you see this man, he's making repeated wrong decisions, one right after the other. And I made a joke about California, but let's just get real. There's probably some places right now that a lot of times Christians go to, they say they're Christians, that I wouldn't want to be when Jesus comes back. And here's Lot, he's down here, and the Lord's come, and the angels have come to judge this city. And Lot is found in a place that no Christian would want to be in. It's the kind of place that if you lived there, you'd be doing everything you could to get your family out. You'd take any kind of job you could get. You know, I have this saying, and I say this around work, and if I was looking for a job, I'd do anything I had to do to take care of my family. I mean, I'd dig ditches. I'd do anything. I'd take a sledgehammer and bust big rocks into little ones to take care of my family. I'd do it. And if my family were in a place like this, I would be doing everything I could to get them to the right place. But here's Lot. He's holding on to the world. Well, how do you know they're holding on to it? He goes over to these two sons-in-law and he says, we need to leave this city. We need to leave now. The scripture says they mocked him. See, Lot had held on so tightly to the world that he had lost his testimony. He no longer had influence. And he wasn't a spiritual leader that when he went to his family and he began to speak to them and tell them the judgment of God is coming, that they honored or respected what he said. Now, when I look at this, I see this lesson. Don't hold too tightly to this world. Know when to turn it loose. And then the last one is when God tells you to move, don't look back. Don't look back. You know, I thank God that He saved me, and I'm thankful that God has worked in my life, and the times that when I wasn't exactly what God wanted me to be, He did not give up on me. Okay? But I'm not going to... You ever been around somebody, they start talking about how it used to be when they was a sinner? And they think it's funny to tell about all the bad stuff and mean stuff they did. I like to get around somebody that wants to tell me of the joy of the Lord since God has changed their life. I mean, because there ain't nothing in the world that I want. But as they're going out of this city, he couldn't influence his two sons-in-law to go. And because he had lost his testimony, they were destroyed in that city. And as he's going out, his wife turns and she looks back. See, the angels warn them when they left. They said, don't look back. And here's some things to understand. Looking back could lead to separation. And in this case, it did lead to separation because Lot's wife turned and looked back. Now, the scripture says she was turned to a pillar of salt. Now, if you go over to that place, to the Salt Sea right now, and you put a boat, I watched a documentary on this, they had boats that were in the Salt Sea. And they had to get under those boats annually, and they had to chip the salt off the propellers because it would destroy them to where they wouldn't even run. Because there's so much salt content in that water that no type of fish would live in that water. And it's just poison. And it's all around the Salt Sea over there where Sodom and Gomorrah was. It's just pillars of salt everywhere. And people say, well, I don't believe the Bible. There's evidence of what the scripture said is true. You see, the scripture says that as soon as they were going out of the city, that God rained fire and brimstone down on that city, and it burned that city up. Every place but that one little city that he asked for, Zoar. That when he got over there to that city, was so wicked he was afraid to stay. You see, looking back could lead to separation. Looking back can also lead to gross sin. You see, here's a man that had lost his influence with his two sons-in-law, that didn't trust God, that didn't believe God, that's not demonstrated the things that are right with God. But because he's afraid to dwell in the little city, he flees to the mountain. And when he gets up to the mountain, his two daughters begin to talk amongst themselves. And they said, our father has no seed left to him. And they got Lot drunk with wine. And the oldest went that night and she lied with her father. You know what the scripture says? That he knew not when she did lie down, nor when she rose up. Now, people who believe it's okay to drink need to read that verse. They just need to read it and understand. He said, scripture said, he didn't even know when she came in. He didn't know when she came out. And that was his daughter. The next night, the younger daughter came in. Got him drunk with wine. Scripture says that he did not know when she came in. He did not know when she went out. And I don't know about you, but here's where I'm at. I don't want that in my body. I mean, if it's going to affect you that way, I don't want it in my body, because I don't want anything that's going to hinder my spiritual understanding and guidance so much so that I cannot understand that type of thing in my life. Looking back led to gross sin, because there was something that came from this. You see, sometimes looking back could have lasting consequences. Now, if you understand this scripture, you realize that there were two sons born to these daughters. Lot's daughters born, and Lot was the father. These two sons became the fathers of the tribe of the Moabites and the Ammonites. The Moabites and the Ammonites became a thorn in the side of the children of Israel. And if you look at your scripture in Deuteronomy 23, verse 3 and 4, the scripture specifically tells us, I want to read this verse of scripture to you. It says, an Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. Remember the story of Balaam and Balak, where he called him and he wanted him to curse the children of Israel, and Balaam, you know, wasn't listening to God, and he went. But he said, I can't curse them, because God hadn't cursed them. But they tried. They tried to curse the children of Israel. So you see in this lesson 4, the looking back, what it did, it was separation, it was sin, it was lasting consequences that created a group of people that were a thorn in the side of the children of Israel. And when I look at this and I look at where it started out, now let's go back to where it started out. Here's God calling Abram out. And they get over here and God's blessing both of them, and there's so much contention between them, they can't work together. Do you know that sometimes when God begins, no one's to say this right here, I didn't even know this was coming, but this fits right here. You know, when God begins to bless, sometimes you have growing pains. And when you have growing pains, rather than there being separation and trying to get it in our hearts and our minds what we think is right, we need to realize that we ought to thank God for what He's blessing us with and let Him be the leader, lest somebody end up like Lot. He thought he had the right way to go, but he wasn't listening to God. And when he got over there, he saw example after example of what God can do, but he wasn't trusting God. And then his mind began to drift from who God was, and he started holding on to this world. And a lot of times that happens in people's lives. It's kind of like this. I get so busy with the things of the world that I just don't have time for God anymore. I don't have time for church anymore. It's not important anymore. But you know, the way I look at it myself, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I know I am, the devil can't do nothing, but you know, I want to tell you something, it's me. It's me, it's not the devil, it's me. My biggest problem is me. And I know that. But you know why I want to come to the house of God? I don't want to be like Lot when he lost influence over his sons-in-law, and you know, and there's his daughters, and he didn't even treat them the way he was supposed to and love them and understand what his responsibilities were. We have others that we're responsible for. I have children that I'm responsible for. And my testimony needs to be strong enough that when I'm gone, just like I mentioned about my dad this morning and the testimony that he had, I want those that come behind me to walk by my casket and say, Lord, help me carry that baton. Because one day the baton that you carry for the Lord is going to be passed to those that are behind you. And when I look at this, I don't see that it was handled the right way in Lot's life. And here's the moral. Follow God and don't look back. Just follow God. It's kind of like that song, where He leads me, I will follow. Follow God and don't look back. Amen? Amen. I hope that was a blessing to you. I hope something I said was a blessing to you tonight. I wish we could sing that song, Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow. Can we sing that? Let's sing that song.